Stage Dramas present Help Wanted. This week's Front Page drama, Help Wanted, is a dramatization of a true life story entitled Advertised for a Man to Do a Murder. This amazing story, taken from London criminal court proceedings, has all the weird oriental atmosphere of one of Sherlock Holmes' celebrated cases. You will find this dramatic story, Advertised for a Man to Do a Murder, in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Caleb Green was one of the thousands of Londoners riding home on the Underground, the English equivalent of our subway, reading his evening paper. But it was far from his thoughts that a casual glance through the Help Wanted column would involve him in a weird oriental murder plot. But he read an advertisement that interested him, and when he reached home...
Hey, Lizzie, don't be in the alley about setting the table. I want to write a letter before dinner.
What's up, darling?
A chance to pick up a little change, I think. Look here, under Help Wanted in the news. Wanted, a clever man with a car to act as detective. 1 hour's job for a very clever person. Box, A3509, evening news. There you are, Liz.
Yeah, what's that got to do with you, I'd like to know?
A clever man to act as detective.
Cool. You don't half like yourself. Clever man. You're clever, I ain't noticed it. If you're so blooming clever, why do you mend the hole in the tea kettle like I've been asking you to do for months?
Yeah, none of your sarcastic lip, Liz. I'll buy you a new kettle if I get this job. Here, get me the pen and ink and a bit of notepaper.
All right, Mr. Blinking Genius. If the advertisement says a clever man with a motor car, where do you come in?
I'll borrow one. Old Inspector Percy Summers would lend me his. Or if there's enough money in the job, I can hire one. But I've been on the police force. I'm an old soldier. I know a bit about detective work, so I'll have a go at it. Here, get me that paper note and then pen and stop talking.
If I was you, I'd go easy. Detective voice ain't always a child's cry. What if you got mixed up in some dangerous business? Got killed, perhaps. Just like that bloke I was reading about with blood on the hearthstone.
Oh, there you are, you and those penny dreadfuls you read. Don't be silly, there's no danger. Things like that only happen in those mystery stories you read.
All right, I've had my say. But don't blame me if you wake up and find yourself murdered.
Don't be stuppy. It's a chance to pick up an extra quid or two, and we can use it.
Right you are, Sherlock Holmes. Here's your pen and ink and paper. Write the blinking letter, but don't say I didn't warn you. Oh, what a nasty night. This is that blinking wind howling. Lions, cats, and dogs, too. Caleb. Caleb, do you hear me?
Yes, Liz. What were you saying?
I said it's a nasty night. While you're about it, wouldn't hurt to have another scuttle of coal. Fire's getting low.
Right there. Well, I'll get it.
Oh, now, who could that be on a night like this? Are you expecting company, Caleb?
No, of course not. Answer the door while I get the coal.
Righto. If you are visiting in a night like this, I'd like to know. I wouldn't send a dog out. Oh, the blooming horses. I'm coming.
Do not be frightened. I'm looking for a Mr. Caleb Green. This is his residence, I believe.
Yes, he is here.
May I come in? The weather is bad.
Oh, yes. Yes, come in.
Thank you kindly.
You are here. I'll fetch him. He's getting a scuttle of coal. Caleb!
All right, I'm coming. I'm bringing the coal with me. Now, what's up? You act like you've seen a blooming ghost.
Yes, it's worse. Wait till you see what's out in the hall. An oriental-looking bloke. Just like the one...
Half a mo. Get a hold of yourself, Lizzie. What's up?
He's come to you. He's out in the hall. Blimey, what a fright it is. Get eyes of his and he's fine.
Now then, stop this soppy dribbling. Who's there?
A Indian he is. A weird, queer-looking bloke. He wants to see you.
And why didn't you say so? Stay here and I'll go. Put some coal on the fire and sit down. Doggone me, some women I know maybe.
Excuse me for calling at this late hour.
Yeah, of course.
But I am the person to whom your letter was addressed.
Yes,
in answer to my advertisement.
Yes, sir.
You are Mr. Green, I suppose.
Yes, sir. I'm Caleb Green.
My name is Hari Harju Das from Lahore, India.
Is that
may
right?
I talk with you?
Oh, yeah, yes, of course you may. Come into the parlor, Mr.
Das. Oh. Thank you.
Here, Mr. Das. Have a chair in front of the fire.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Green, about this little job I have in mind. I am prepared to pay you £50 in advance.
Yes, sir. £50 in advance?
Yes. And it shouldn't take you more than an hour to complete the job. When it is finished, you earn 50 more.
Yes, sir.
And you can, if your qualifications are what I assume from your letter. Do you know how to handle bombs?
I knew it. Bombs.
Hold your tongue, Lizzie, and go off to bed.
Well, I'm going. Don't worry.
Never mind. Mr. Darth, you know how women
yes,
are. They've always...
Exactly.
Yes, sir. That's right, sir. Now, what's this job all about?
You've been in the army. You've done police work, yes?
Yes.
And most important, you know how to handle bombs.
Oh, yes. In the army, I handle lots of them. I'd be glad of a chance to be of service and, of course, get the money.
You see, Mr. Green, I am only acting as a... How do you say it? A go-between for a friend of mine. In English.
Yes, sir. Well, of course, I should explain that I haven't got a motor car myself, but a good pal of mine has, and of course, I divvy up the money with him. He's all right, though, a smart bloke who knows his P's and Q's, and together we could do the job very good right now.
Here is my address, Mr. Green.
Yes, sir.
I live at Norfolk. You come with your friend, and we will discuss the details.
Right you are, Governor. How about tomorrow night?
Very good. I shall expect you tomorrow night at 8.
As soon as the mysterious visitor, Hari Harju Das, had left his house and disappeared into the stormy night, Caleb Green sought his former police officer, Detective Inspector Summers of the Metropolitan Police, and told him the strange story. Recognizing the possibility of foul play, even murder in the sinister Hindu's intentions, Inspector Summers agreed to go with Caleb Green and play the role of partner in the job Green agreed to perform for the mysterious Oriental. Dressed in shabby clothes and driving an old car, Summers, with Green beside him in the front seat, approached the house of the Hindu.
Well, there's the house fitted. Pretty imposing home, too. A little run down in need of paint, but well, an impressive residence. Let them make their money, get it?
Hey, it's just like I said, Inspector. A very wealthy Oriental eccentric is what he looked like to me.
Ah, I get it. There we are. And remember, keep your revolver handy in case of trouble.
Right, sir.
You do most of the talking, and I'll agree to anything you say to be the more. It's a good one.
Right, you are, Inspector.
You'll be looking for him to get back to it tonight. I wonder if he's home.
He said he expected us at 8. Well, here goes. We'll soon find out.
Well, the bell's in order.
Yeah, there's a light. He's home, all right.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Very punctual. Precisely 8.
It's just like I said and promised, that is. And this here's my chum, Mr. Summers, I told you
excellent.
About.
Come in, please.
Yes, come on in.
Follow me down the hall, gentlemen, to the sitting room. I don't have many of these rooms open just now. My guests and servants left months ago. I'm all alone here now. Go right in there. Stick yourselves out some chairs amid the confusion.
Oh, thank you, sir. We don't mind confusion. We're used to it, eh, matey?
I lost you all. We don't mind it a bit.
Very good. Now, let us get down to our little business proposition. Mr. Green, your friend here, Mr.
Summers.
Yes, Mr. Summers has the motor car.
Right, Al.
It is a very valuable car.
No, sir, it aren't very valuable, but it's the only one I've got.
It's very old and could not bring more than, say, £25.
Well, 25 quid would be an handsome price, sir.
Suppose,
now.
Then, we settle the value of the car at £25 if you should lose it.
Lose it, doesn't it? How do you mean?
It will probably be destroyed.
Destroyed?
Yes. Mr. Green, you told me you have been in the army and can handle bombs.
That's right, sir.
Then you will probably recognize these. Here. Have you seen them before?
Oh, blimey, Governor, not half I ain't. And Neil's hand grenades. We use them in the war,
exactly.
Sir.
Exactly. You know then that by pulling out this...
Hey, look out, sir. One moment.
Do not
there,
be alarmed, gentlemen. I shall not pull the string.
Oh, don't do that.
I'm merely demonstrating the principle of operation.
Oh, yes, of course.
As I was saying, you pull out the string. The pin releases this lever when the bomb is thrown, And the release of the lever sets off the detonator which causes the explosion.
That's right as rain. But, Governor, you ain't going to ask us to
throw them at someone. Of course not. Nothing quite so cool.
No.
I have a more subtle plan.
And what is that, sir? If you'll excuse my curiosity.
Mr. Summers has an old car. Probably has a choke on it. Pull out when you have difficulty in starting the car. Yes, Mr. Summers?
That's right.
Then it is possible to place these 2 mm hand grenades under the hood of the car. Be sure they are securely fastened and won't move and won't be noticeable.
Oh, yes, that wouldn't be hard to do. Easy, in fact.
Right. Then the wire that connects the choke could be fastened securely to the 2 rings on the pins of the grenades.
Yes, that could be done, but I still don't...
Wait, I will explain further. Someone beside ourselves, of course, tries to start the car, pulls the choke out. The wire being attached to the ring pulls the pins out of the hand grenades. The levers fall off. The grenades explode, eh?
Blowing the blooming car to smithereens.
And anyone who is in it.
Not half. You'd have to pick him up in a basket.
Right. All trace of evidence disappears.
Right. But who's the blinking victim?
That I will take care of.
Oh.
But here's the plan, Jack. I give you £50 in advance. You drive the car out on a lonely road near Hampstead Heath, not far from Finch's service. The bombs I place in position. Then I telephone Finch's, saying you want Finch to come out and attend to the car as it will not start. When Finch arrives, say you are cold and wet and will walk up to the public house to have a drink. Finch has the car ready. He can drive it up there and deliver it, yes?
Then we hurry off, leaving Finch. He gets in, steps on the starter, pulls out the choke, and off go the bombs and is blown to bits. Blimey, what a plot.
You will not have to go to the public house because I will be waiting with another car to drive you away from the scene of the accident. To the other side of town where you report to the police your car has been stolen. That clears you of all guilt, and I pay you an additional £50, as well as the cost of the car.
You say? I say you're under arrest, charged with attempted murder. Stand where you are.
I've got him, Inspector. Oh, come on now.
Stephen Jackals, what does this mean?
It means that I'm Detective Inspector Summers of the Metropolitan Police, and you are my prisoner. The strange story of Harry Hazard Dass was revealed at his trial. Dass fell in love with an English girl while at school in England and married her. They lived happily together for 4 years. For 2 years, they operated the huge house as a rooming house, when suddenly Dass was called back to India to settle an estate there. During his absence, his wife met Finch, the auto mechanic who owned the garage. Upon Dass's return from India, he found to his amazement that his wife had left him. He tried for reconciliation, but she refused to consider it. Finding she was infatuated with Finch, Dass was determined to remove him as a possible suitor. Then, following the insertion of the help wanted ad in the newspaper and his meeting with Messrs. Summers and Green, he was tried in the common sergeant's court, pleaded guilty, and the court extended leniency and deported him to India. You have just heard Help Wanted, a dramatization of the story Advertised for a Man to Do a Murder, which appears in next Sunday's American Weekly. See this and all the other splendid stories and articles of feature fiction to be found in each issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Front Page Dramas presents The Magnificent Deception. This week's Front Page Drama, The Magnificent Deception, is a dramatization of an amazing true life story recently revealed in the newspapers of Paris, France.
and is dramatically retold in next Sunday's American Weekly under the caption, Help the Blind Beggar and Unmask Her Rich Husband. This is only one of the many interesting stories, articles, and entertaining features that appear every week in the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Paris is a city of strange characters and fantastic happenings. Anything can happen in Paris, and it usually does. If you have been standing in front of the church Saint-Germain-des-Prés a few months ago, you may have seen a bent and bewhiskered cripple suddenly pick up his crutches and run away from a pretty and fashionably dressed woman who dropped a coin in his tin cup. And a moment later, see the beggar struck down by a passing taxi. You would have seen the pretty young woman dash to the side of the injured beggar and begin to cry. Well, you say it's sad, but after all, just a street accident, and the same thing happens here. But there was a tragic story behind that fatal accident that began more than a year before in one of the gambling casinos in Monte Carlo.
You are not a very good gambler, mademoiselle.
Excuse me.
Pardon me, mademoiselle, for...